Welcome to Ag PhD Radio. It's a Farmer Friday here, and we're taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD or by email radio@agphd.com. I'm Darren Hefty, along with my brother Brian. And Brian, we have gotten a bunch of questions in. Imagine that, planting season, lots going on out in the field, and everybody's just kind of curious on a number of different things. And if you don't mind, we'll dive right into the mailbag.
Go ahead.
All right.
It's the mailbag.
All right. So Kimberly said, I'm a little surprised 90% of soils are low in potassium, given that it's such a huge problem in waterways. I'm not sure what you're talking about, Kimberly. I think that maybe she's thinking about phosphorus, that phosphorus could be potentially an issue with fresh water.
Okay, yeah. And what we call waterways are different than what you call waterways. When I call something a waterway, that is a grass waterway out in a field. So I think what you're referring to is a river or a stream. So and it's phosphorus. So and even then, we still have issues with lots of low phosphorus levels all over the place. So the challenge is with phosphorus, it's one of the nutrients that the soil naturally releases, just like the soil naturally releases nitrogen and sulfur. So when there's nitrate found in groundwater, for example, a farmer may not have even applied it. Same thing with the phosphorus that's in a lake, a river, or a stream. A farmer may not have applied that. I'm not saying that all the phosphorus or nitrate comes from the soil itself, but I am saying that's a contributing factor. We figure for every 1% of soil organic matter, you're going to get 4 to 7 pounds of phosphate out of that. Well, like in our farm, we got 5% organic matter in some of our ground. So all of a sudden, I got 20 to 35 pounds of phosphate. So if I'm raising a crop, is it going to use that up? Absolutely it is, and then some. But how about if I'm not raising a crop? Then what happens? So anyway, the big thing with phosphorus movement and how it gets into lakes, rivers, and streams is not leaching. It is when erosion occurs. So that's the reason why we talk so much about soil erosion being stopped, because phosphorus, unless you get it to really high levels, it's not leaching down through the soil profile. It is completely different than nitrate. It pretty well locks onto soil. So anyway, we believe you're referring to phosphorus, and I also believe you're referring to rivers and streams when you say waterways. So if you got any more questions, let us know.
All right, next question comes in from John. He said, I'm a young farmer working my way into an operation that's owned by a couple of guys that are about ready to retire. We're in southwest Indiana. Currently, we're using a bunch of cover crops on some rolling ground. My worry is we're using barley, and we're letting it grow as long as it can in the spring and planting right into a green cover crop. I just wonder how much damage we're doing to our corn yields because that barley is sucking a lot of nutrients out of the ground and water.
Yep.
So you're right. My question is, how long until the barley breaks down and those nutrients become available again? I know that it's dependent on temperature and moisture,
right?
But I'm just curious your thoughts and also curious if there's a better way we could be doing cover crops in front of corn.
Well, we have rolling hills where we farm too, so I don't know your slope or anything, but it's probably 10-20+% of our ground is highly erodible land. So I'm with you. I'd like to have a cover crop there. We kill our cover crop off in the fall, or it gets killed off by winter. I don't like something growing in the spring because we're dry. I'm more worried about the water situation than the nutrients, but the nutrients, that's an issue too. So here's the way I'd look at it. If you're going to let the barley grow into the spring, you have to have extra nutrients out there, knowing that the barley is going to suck that up, and it's going to release those nutrients back to your next crop over the next 2 to 3 years as that residue breaks down. So that's what I would tell you. It's going to be 2 to 3 years before all those nutrients are going to come back available. Many of them the first year, but the rest it'll be in years 2 and year 3. That's my guess for what you would have there. And so I just make sure you've got lots of extra soil fertility to overcome that. Now, the moisture thing, there's no way to overcome that unless you have irrigation. And it might, for you in your area where you have much more rainfall than we do, it might be fine 3 or 4 out of 5 years. The problem is the 1 or 2 years, it's not fine. It could really hurt you. So, I mean, and especially going into corn, corn needs lots of water. So, yeah, I would be absolutely concerned about that. Now, your alternative, again, just like us, you could let it grow as long as, well, we raise oats. That's my preference now as a cover crop, so then it dies off in the winter, and then I don't have to spray in the spring. You could continue doing what you're doing and then just spray early in the spring, kill it off, and you're still going to get a lot of benefit out of it because you got all that residue that's sitting out there. Sure, it's dead, but who cares? It's still going to help you prevent erosion, and I'm sure that was your goal.
All right, that kind of leads us right into the next question. This comes from JG, who says, you guys are talking about cover crops and terminating them and so forth. Why don't you just use the plow instead of herbicide? That's what we've done on our farm, and it works great.
Yeah, you absolutely can. For us, the reason why we don't use the plow, we have highly erodible land. We worry about soil erosion. We're also trying to build soil organic matter. When you pull out the plow, you're going to deplete soil organic matter. And then the other thing is you're going to release more water up into the air. We're always trying to conserve moisture. So those are the reasons why we don't want to do that. But it absolutely is an option. Plowing is certainly a tool.
Right. Get this comment in. We were talking about soybean gall midge, and the comment that came in was, I'm surprised there isn't a systemic insecticide used in agriculture for soybean gall midge.
Yep. At this point, we haven't found anything that will systemically work as an insecticide.
Thimet.
Yeah, good point. But I guess where I'm going is something. Sorry, let me rephrase. Something that we can spray foliar that will move down through the plant and kill it from... Here's the trouble. We have bugs similar to that in other crops too, whether it's corn borer, it's stalk borer. I think even in sunflowers, we have worms that are inside the... That's the issue. Once they're inside that plant, it's just... We aren't able to get enough insecticide with anything we spray foliar, but yes, Thimet Pre can work. Stay tuned.
Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications. All without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and SDS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. This spring, take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a Heads Up seed treatment.
On your farm, you spend thousands on fertilizer every season. But how do you know if any nutrient you apply is paying for itself? Build a fertility plan like never before with Verify. With Verify's soil point to yield analysis, you can automatically see the connection between your soil test and yield data to see which fertilizer dollars will make you money and which won't. Go to verify.com to get started today. That's VRAFY.com. Warning, high yields incoming. Upgrading your planter with Germinator closing wheels can increase your corn yields by 13 bushels in no-till and 7 bushels in conventional. Are your bins ready? Call Farm Shop MFG at 712-520-6051.
Tame tough weeds with a pre-plant application of Revitan, a powerful burn-down herbicide. Revitan drops the hammer on more than 50 species of tough weeds with great tank mix compatibility and low use rates. Learn more at helmcrop.com/Revitan. Always read and follow label directions.
It's Farmer Friday on Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can email us radio at agphd.com. Got our friend Tony Wendler on right now with Farm Shop MFG. And Tony, getting some rain through the area right now. And I've talked to a number of farmers that have been selling some grain lately. That they were worried about bins. They were heading into planting. And they said, I'm not going to have time to look at these things over the next few weeks as I'm super busy. I'm going to get some grain out of there, make sure I don't have a problem. I don't think that's too bad an idea. What do you think?
Actually, I've had conversations with along the same topic here in recent weeks with people. Everything from some wanting to get some fan controls on because they can't monitor their bins right now, and asking questions about having that capability. And the other on doing just exactly that, moving some grain out because they're not doing as much time on inspecting. Get that grain off the top, because if there's going to be something bad happen coming off winter, it's going to be in the top center.
Hey, talk to me about this, Tony. So if you've got a bin full of grain right now, what can you do and what can't you do in terms of installing new equipment? Can you put new bin fan controls on? Can you put temperature monitoring equipment on, or do you have to wait till it's empty?
Bin fan controls, the fan controls are easy. You can put them on any time of the year you want to. Everything involved with that is on the outside of the bin. So you can have it that you want to get the set the fan to run within certain humidity and temperature parameters, and it will turn the fans on and off, and it'll clock the hours that the fan is run and do all that independent. If you've got grain in the bin, it's tougher, but getting sensors into there is a challenge. Top one can be pretty easy. That if people really want to do something, you kind of, after the bin's full, zip tie the cable to the exterior ladder, run it under the roof, and get it out there in the center and get it about a, you know, elbow deep, 8-10 inches, foot into the grain. A lot of the bad action in the winter occurs in the center. In the summer, it's going to occur on the southwest skin of the bin, where the sun is really heating that skin up. So, yes, and in the summer, you could actually move that sensor around. If you're doing moisture management, it's always easier to have a sensor in the top and the bottom tell your differentials in the bin. And we've got a thing where people can put what we call a door bin spear in. And the principle of that is that you usually got a little access hatch or something in the walk-in door. We take a piece of conduit and flatten the tip out of it like a spear, and then take a angle grinder, put some slats into it, and put a sensor in there, and just pound it into the grain. Get it in about 3-4 feet. Now you got a differential reading for top and bottom.
Yeah, there are ways that you can. There are ways you can do this, and I find the biggest thing, Tony, is people let themselves make excuses. Well, I can't really do anything until the bin's empty. I'll have to wait until then and think, okay, now I don't have to think about it yet. No, now's a great time to do it. You got thousands and thousands of dollars worth of grain in that bin to keep an eye on it a little bit better, monitor what that temperature is doing. If it's staying cool and it's not heating up, you got some pretty good level of confidence there that things are going to be fine. And if you're looking for some of those tools, our friend Tony's got a lot of that. You can find it at farmshopmfg.com. Hey, Tony, we got to run, but thank you. Really appreciate having you on. Good luck to you as you finish up planting on your farm as well. Let's head over to Illinois. Got Mike on with us right now. Mike, how's it going?
Going good. How are you?
We're doing well, but it's raining here, so we got a little break time from the action and time to check everything over one more time and make sure our plans are perfect, so once it dries out, we're rolling again. How about you?
Same here. We got a little rain on Tuesday, and it looks like we're going to be out for a few more days, so everybody's just kind of setting for now.
Yeah, it's interesting, and people ask, well, what do farmers do on these days? Do they just sleep in and take the day off? And I wish it was that easy, Mike, but it doesn't ever seem to happen over here. How about for you?
Well, I was catching up on some of my book work this morning, and yesterday I got the planner out and just kind of went over it, made sure it was still working the way it's supposed to, and just some little odd jobs here and there that come up.
Yeah, I had a farmer this morning that I talked to that he was getting the sprayer out to get going. He hadn't done any of his pre's yet, and he had a planter going in the field, and they were going to try and follow right behind it with the sprayer. And all of a sudden, something wasn't right down the sprayer, and they had a major problem. And he's like, oh, no, I was kind of pushing it by planting first, spraying later. Now my sprayer's broke down, and he was in a panic. So I guess a rain day is kind of a good deal for that if it's, oh, man, I got to go run after some parts here and do some fix-up jobs.
Yeah, you always, on those rainy days, you always got some things wrote down that you need to check when it rains, and that's kind of where I was at.
Hey, how is planting going in your area, and what have guys put in the ground? Has it been corn? Has it been beans? A little of both?
Well, been probably mostly beans. I'm going to say probably around here, probably 50-50. Maybe a few more beans than corn, actually. So I've got about 2 days of beans left to plant. All my corn's in, so... It just varies. Some guys got right after it, and some guys just kind of waited.
Yeah, it is fun just to see how many different ways of doing it there are out there. Yeah. And about as many farmers as there are, there's a different way to get it done.
Yeah, I guess we'll know what's right come fall. So.
Yeah, and it could be different this year than it was last year. I mean, for us, we were super dry last year. We're starting off, we're catching some decent rains here. So hopefully this is a new trend here. How about for you? How's it been the last couple of years?
This year is almost a carbon copy of last year for us. It was warm early and a lot of corn beans went in the ground 2 weeks ago, and then it cooled off, but it didn't get as cool as last year, but it's been dry again. I mean, our rains, 7-8 tenths at the most. We haven't got any floods or anything like that, but just been scattered.
Well, hopefully you guys catch some more rain. We sure need it, too. I know our rivers are virtually non-existent. Every little bit that we're getting is soaking in, trying to make up for the last few years. And I'm sure for you, too, we get a nice, easy rain like that. It just soaks right in. But good luck to you, Mike. Hopefully everything goes smooth. You get the rest of the crop in, and have a great year.
All right. Thank you. You guys, too.
Brian, I had a question that came in. And this one's from Boyd. He said, I remember from a show that I'd watched, a farmer burning corn stalks, and he was using that to run his corn dryer. Do you see anything like that? Are there alternative sources of energy being used to do different jobs in ag? and he makes the comment, would the EPA say no to those kinds of things?
Probably.
Now?
Yeah, burning, that gets to be challenging. Now, there are certainly opportunities, but let's put it this way. We're not... we're agronomists, okay? So we can share with you some of the things that we know that are going on, but we're not energy experts or scientists who are studying, well, how can we get energy 40 years from now or anything that's different than what we're doing today? So I don't know that I have the best information there for you. I would just say I still go back to what are we doing with biofuels? If we're truly serious about having renewable energy, well, there's one great source. You can get below zero on the carbon index scale using biofuels. And you do that by building soil organic matter at the same time you're producing crops that can fuel, quite frankly, almost anything. So I think that's the direction that things should go. I guess when I look at solar, wind, batteries, all those things, they certainly cannot get below zero on the carbon index scale. And when you look at some of the rare earth minerals that are needed and just what it takes to produce those, to maintain those, and especially to dispose of them, then I see a lot of limitations there. So I guess I'm going to tend to go biofuels are the way that we should be looking in the future. But I'll also say this. Burning actual corn, I had a corn furnace for quite a few years, was able to heat my house for far less money than propane. I mean, are there things that we could do other than somehow using biofuels? Yes, but I know the big trend now is to try to figure out a way to do that without burning. So that's still where I come back to. Liquid biofuels, probably the direction that we'll see things going in the future. Stay tuned. We will get to more of your questions and your phone calls right after this.
Right now at CNB, get 0% financing for 72 months on select John Deere compact utility tractors, riding mowers, and gators. Hurry, offer ends April 30th, 24. Visit DeereEquipment.com. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Get more durability for less downtime with Soil Warrior Strip Tillage from Environmental Tillage Systems. Improve fertilizer efficiency and reduce passes and fuel usage. Now that's ROI. Learn more about ETS at SoilWarrior.com.
If you look close enough, you can see the hidden potential within your fields. That's why an agro-liquid nutrition plan starts with the crop and identifies the precise combination of primary nutrients while focusing on the support of secondary and micronutrients. So every nutrient is working in harmony for your crop to reach its full potential, maximizing growth while offering lower use rates. Apply less, expect more, precisely. Find an agroliquid dealer at agroliquid.com.
Morton Buildings has served the American farmer for more than 120 years. From manufacturing our own building components to constructing your building, Morton takes pride in being the industry leader in post-frame construction by providing a quality building and exceptional customer service. A Morton is built to last for generations. To get started on your next project, please visit MortonBuildings.com.
Every season, you're collecting yield data on virtually every acre of your farm. But what good is your data if you never use it? Put it to work with Verify. Verify takes yield data directly from your combine and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, ensuring your crops get what they need, right where they need it, no matter what equipment you run. Go to verify.com to find an expert to help you get started. That's VRAFY.com.
My mom's got a new Case IH tractor, and it can do it all. Bale hay all day. See in the dark with its powerful LED lights. Hook up all the implements. Shift like a race car, steer with ease. And it can also cool my juice box. Yeah, her Case IH tractor can do everything she needs it to.
Looking for a tractor that can do it all? Check out CaseIH.com.
The hard-working, independent spirit of rural America can often be isolating. It's not often discussed, but mental health issues are real. Now's the time to lead by example, talk openly, and show that a strong mind is just as important as a strong body. FMC is proud to be working toward ending the misconceptions around mental health. Through awareness, guidance, and action, together we can uproot the stigma.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio on a Farmer Friday, and our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD for your agronomic questions. Start off down in Kansas, got Marty on with us right now. Wants to talk a little gibberellic acid, I guess. How you doing, Marty?
Hey, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, good. All right, what's on your mind?
We're finally getting some rain down here.
Good and for you
I've got
guys.
Some native, yeah, God, we've needed it, so... and we've got some native grass that we're grazing, and we had to bale that native grass last year to get enough hay to get through the winter, and now we're going to try and graze it, but it's kind of slow to go. We're not quite warm enough yet, and I'm going to spray graze on next, probably in the next 30 days, in the next 2 weeks, and I wondered about mixing, and it's going to be by plane, mix some gibberellic acid with it. Will that help give me a boost on that native, or is that going to be a waste of money?
You know, it's interesting. So you got two different, totally different things going on here. And the graze on next, I totally get it for weed control. Did it get down to nothing last year where it wasn't overgrazed, I guess, but you had to bale it up?
I never got any fall growth because it never rained again. So usually that will come back and we'll have some growth over the winter. And there's some spots out there that I need to keep it clean for the landlord. Just so I don't get any weeds up in it, because it's much shorter than I would like, because we didn't get that fall growth, that late summer growth.
Yeah, the tough thing is when you put out Rise Up Smart Grass or any of the gibberellic acid products, we really don't want to put them out with anything else that is going to be a hormone of any kind. So if you've got any 2,4-D or dicamba or any of those different herbicides, they can counteract each other a bit.
Right, yeah. So like with corn, for example, it will tell you right on the label, don't put it with 2,4-D. So, well, it may not necessarily say that for grass. That's always going to be our concern, is could there be a little negative with that grass? I mean, it doesn't specifically tell you that you can't do it, but we're a little concerned when you got two different things impacting plant growth. How is that going to turn out? So you can sure try it if you want to. Maybe just the first load or something, throw that in, the rest don't, and just see how it pans out. I mean, we love gibberellic acid on grass. When it's cool in the spring, that's when we get the gain. Usually if the temperatures are in the 40s to 60s, that's great. Now, you're quite a ways further south than us, so let's put it this way. If it's going to be 80 degrees next week, which I don't know if it is for you or not, but if it was going to be 80 degrees all week, would I gain much by throwing gibberellic acid out there? Probably not. So that's one of the big determining factors for us.
I'll take care of the weeds first and worry about the grass later. That's what'll keep me from losing the pasture.
Yeah. Got to get those weeds under control.
Right.
You're right.
Yes, sir. All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You bet. Good luck, Marty.
All right, let's head up to Quebec, Canada. We got John on with us right now. How you doing, John?
Not too bad. I'm just coming back from the field. I was spraying some cereal rye with some 32%, trying to give it a little boost.
Sure.
And, it's one of those things, you know, we did some modification to our sprayer this winter, put on a recirculating kit on our boom, and sort of thing that works perfect in the yard but not in the field. So.
Isn't that how it always works out? Well, hey, I like the idea of putting the fertilizer out. Talk to us about that. Have you kind of experimented with some things over the years, or is this just, no, we normally do it this way and we're trying to just follow that script?
Actually, this is the very first year we've put any extra nitrogen on the rye. It's just a cover crop to burn down, but this field is going to be in processing beans, so the rye will be there until mid-June, so it'll be harvested as a feed crop.
Oh, interesting. That's pretty cool to be able to utilize every month of growth that you can get. Talk to us about the processing beans then. Are there considerations that you have to have everything set, or can you just no-till them right into where you take this cereal rye off?
We've done both. Normally the thing is conventional tillage, but we have no-tilled them in, and this year we'll probably use a strip tiller for a little better seed bed. Pretty important to have every seed germinate just about the same time, so no-tilling doesn't always work perfectly for us.
Yeah,
because sometimes it's in the middle of the summer. You know, sometimes we don't get it planted until July. It's just we have to follow the schedule from the processing company, and they don't want all the beans ready at the same time. So there's a schedule we have to follow.
Sure. Yep. So how's the spring shaping up so far? Has weather been good for you guys? You catching enough rain?
We're getting a little bit of rain. We don't need any rain. It's just holding us. It's really holding us up. We had yesterday and today without any rain, and probably tomorrow. But I don't think it'll be ready. Our ground will be ready. And it's going to rain again on Sunday, so I suppose anyway.
It's tough to time things out. But
it's been off and on all like this for the last 2 weeks. You know, a couple of days nice and maybe a couple of days rain. So we've seen it before and we'll see it again, I guess.
Yep, that's for sure. Well, yeah, I guess a good thing, if you catch some rain after this application, you know where the nitrogen's going. It's going right in the ground. That's kind of a good thing, at least.
Yeah, it is. Yep. With sort of an experiment, we did half a field and to see how much extra we will get for the cost, you know, the for the investment. So
sure. Yeah, I would assume there'll be some of that nitrogen maybe that carries over into the next crop, which isn't a bad thing. But you're right. If you get a bunch more feed out of this, that would be a nice return, especially with the cost of nitrogen not being quite as bad as it was last year.
It always seems to be enough.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's cheap.
No, I mean compared to the price of the grain that you or the crop that you're
absolutely. I totally agree with you. that never changes, no doubt. Well, John, good luck to you. Thanks for chatting with us today. Really appreciate it.
Always good. Always good. Thank you.
You bet.
Have a good day.
You too. Got Jim down in Kansas. Wanted to comment a little bit about the native grass we were talking about earlier. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, fine. Can you hear me fine?
You bet.
Good. I used to work for NRCS out in the Flint Hills, and he was talking about native grass, but Kansas has about four different levels of native grass. The Flint Hills is a tall grass prairie, and I understand he has a landlord that doesn't want the weeds coming back, but hay it should solve a lot of the problem. And I'm not sure what weeds they're spraying. There's a lot of weed things that people call weeds that are actually beneficial to the prairie. And I just don't see, and fertilizer does nothing or anything else to native grass.
Say that again, fertilizer. What was the comment about fertilizer?
If he tries to fertilize native grass, he's wasting his money.
Yeah, he wasn't talking about fertilizer. He was talking about using potentially some gibberellic acid.
Growth hormones.
Just to jumpstart things. And it sounded like you get wherever, which part of Kansas he was in, I don't remember, but he said that he got really dry last year, and after they had to hay some of that, they didn't get any regrowth on it. So
I understand that doesn't affect that native grass, you know, especially in the Flint Hills. Those ruts are 15 to 20 foot deep into the ground, and but if he's in western Kansas or, you know, short grass prairie, I can't help him with that. But tall grass prairie is very, very hardy. And so long as it gets rain, sometimes it's better.
Interesting. Well, it sounds like they're starting to catch some rain, and that might cure up a lot of stuff. It's tough when things aren't growing and you're in a drought situation. And I appreciate the call, Jim. And yeah, you're right. With native grasses, there's a reason they're there to start with. They're pretty hardy for that particular climate. We'll tackle more questions right after this.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with three core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/basic.
Nothing but net. Win your soybean season with the fast knockdown and lasting broad-spectrum control of Elevest Insect Control from FMC. Take on army worms, stink bugs, soybean loopers, and more with the maximized ratio of premier active ingredients for better overall control of more than 40 labeled pests. Visit your FMC retailer or elevest.ag.fmc.com to up your game this season. Always read and follow all label directions.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from agronomy manager Nate Honeck.
We've seen tremendous weed control that was sprayed in dry, hot conditions with very little rain within 2 weeks after application. Very easy application. Definitely tank mix well with the various products we used.
Visit valent.com/maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Your farm's greatest challenge is making sure your crop has enough fertility to reach its yield goals. But how do you know if you're applying too much of any one nutrient? Fine-tune your fertility plan with Verify. Your combine collects hundreds of yield data points per acre. Verify takes that data and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, so you can be confident you're not over-applying. Get started today at verify.com. That's V-R-A-F-Y.com.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Thanks for joining us today on Ag PhD Radio. It is a Farmer Friday, so if you have an agronomic question, today's your day. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can send us an email, radio@agphd.com. All right, phone lines or the email, Brian, which you want first? Phone lines? Let's take Pat in Wisconsin then. Pat, how you doing today?
Hey, doing pretty good.
You guys done planting out there, or are you right in the middle of it?
I can see the finish line. We started planting corn and beans on Monday. We'll put in about 2,200 acres of corn. We got about 1,800 in. And the beans, we'll put 1,500 acres in, and we got about 1,200 acres done.
Wow. Yeah, you and do see the finish line. That's awesome.
We're catching some rain right now. They're talking hard rains this weekend. We got some bottom ground left to plant, so it'll probably be mid-next week or next weekend before we finish up, I bet.
Sure. Well, you know what? I would be pretty happy right now if I was that far along, and now I get a little break. Now I can actually finally sleep. It doesn't sound like you've been getting much rest here this week. It's been pretty hard work.
Yeah, we got a young crew. They're energetic and they want to work, so we put them to the test, and the spraying's all caught up and everything, so we're sitting pretty good hands right now.
Hey, that is awesome. I love both of those comments here, that you got a young, energetic crew. And I was doing a local radio interview here this morning, and one of the questions was, young people, are young people excited about this? And I said, yes, but the challenge is a lot of us that maybe control the purse strings, it's hard for us to get out of their way sometimes. Sounds like you're giving those young people a chance. That's awesome.
Well, my brother had his gallbladder taken out last week. So he run the sprayer and the bean planter. So my youngest son, he took over the spraying duty, and I got a nephew that took over the planting the beans, and we haven't missed a click yet. Everybody's running hard, and they all know what they got to do.
That is so cool. I mean, hopefully your brother's doing fine and everything, but that a couple of these young people on the farm get a shot at doing things. Where are they at? How old are these young guys that you got coming up? Are they already out of school and they're ready to go, or are they still in school?
Yep. The one boy, Ryan, he's 20 years old. You know, these young kids, they're so savvy with this technology as far as the sprayers, the corn planters and bean planters. I mean, it almost takes a rocket scientist to know how to run all this stuff now.
Yeah, the new technology, no doubt about that. That has really changed the game here. And here's the other thing, though. I love it that you guys are pushing them, that, hey, we got to hustle, guys. Let's try and get this whole crop in this week if we can. And what a good experience for them, too, to be held to the fire.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, knock on wood, they stepped up to the plate, and I think they see the objective here. The sooner we get done, you know, there'll be some time to relax. But we got 550 beef cows, so we're calving right now. So we're full of work to do right now.
All right, so tell me this. Have you got any of these young people that are just in love with the livestock end of things, or are they more crop farmers, or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. I grew up with three other brothers, and our dad taught us to be diversified. So we do a lot of grain farming, but we keep a lot of cattle around. We do.
Sure, sure. Well, and now, of course, it is going to happen that you're calving right when you're getting rain and bud and everything else to add to that. Yeah. Where do you calve them at? Are you kind of set up to handle it when you get rains and that kind of thing during calving?
Yeah, we are. We used to calve in March, end of March, but with weather conditions, we push it off till the end of April. It is a busy time, but things are drier. And the, you know, survival rate, that's the main issue right there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, there's pros and cons of both ways. I'm with you, though. You know you're going to be a little bit warmer. March is pretty unpredictable in Wisconsin yet. It can still snow quite a bit and blow.
Well, you know, it was 2-3 weeks ago, I think it was, we had that 8 inches of snow. It was only here for, you know, maybe 3 days, but we are in a drought area. But now we got nice moisture in the ground, and this corn and beans, we get some heat now, man, she's going to be popping out fast.
You bet. Well, Pat, thank you so much. We really appreciate having you on today. This is really encouraging. I love hearing about these young folks getting involved. And like you say, there's no shortage of work on the farm, and you guys are hard workers. So glad to see you throwing these guys in there, giving them a shot, and thanks for talking about it today.
Well, my biggest thing I want to tell you, though, you can tell everybody, communication. That's, we all need to do a better job of it. And bringing this young group of people in, it's all about communication.
Yeah, it is. And you know, we didn't even get into, okay, how do they get into an ownership role at some point? And you got brothers and cousins and all this going on. It does get a little complicated. And you're right. If everybody's on the same page and communicating well, that's got to help a ton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks, Pat. We really appreciate it. It was great having you on.
Okay, thanks for talking with me. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah, that's pretty interesting, just hearing about these young people on the farm getting a shot. And it comes down to a health issue that, oh, this guy had to have gallbladder taken out. And, I mean, it's going to happen, stuff like that. And sometimes it's just by complete choice of, hey, this year we're going to give this guy a shot or that guy a shot to do some things. But either way, I mean, you think about that farm and the strength of that operation going forward when they got multiple people that can do these jobs, that's a good deal.
All right, let's get back to the Ag PhD mailbag here. Had John send in a question, and he was asking about Neil Kinsey's book, Hands on Agronomy. He said, is there a way I can get that in audiobook form? Darren, I don't know that there is.
No, there isn't at this point that I'm aware of.
All right, next thing. He said, you talk about wanting a 4 to 8% base saturation potassium level. What would you suggest for a base rate for phosphorus? Well, phosphorus isn't in that base saturation test, so we're just looking at how much is in the soil. And it depends an awful lot on the lab that you're working with and what test for phosphorus they run. So for example, we like the Malic 3 test. That's my preference. Okay, I love the Malic 3 because it tells us not just what's available today, but what they believe should come available over the course of the next growing season. It's a little bit stronger acid than is used for, let's say, the Olson test or the P1 weak Bray test. The Malic 3 test is more similar to the P2 or strong Bray test. So again, it's not going to tell you what's available, not just going to tell you what's available today, it's going to tell you what's available today plus what they think should come available during the next growing season. So all tests, though, you kind of have to take with a grain of salt because there can be variance 10 feet away from where you tested. And every year is a little bit different. So some years might be hotter and you may have better plant growth. You might have good rain, and all of a sudden the plant's kicking out more organic acids, and it's basically helping the soil release more of what's already out there. So more comes available, and that's great. But we don't know that that's going to happen. So it's always a challenge. We're just trying to stay, number one, in the general ballpark of where we want to be. But number two, as far as where is that ballpark, we compare soil tests to yield on our farm. And so we can chart that out over time and see, oh, okay, here's kind of where we need to be, and here's where we can maximize profitability. Here's where we don't gain or where we don't lose yield and things like that. But like on our farm, what am I shooting for a Malic 3 phosphorus test? 100 parts per million to 150 parts per million. So if you were running an Olson test or a P1 weak Bray test, those numbers would be a lot lower. Last thing, at the bottom of his email, he has this quote from Mark Twain who says, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished how much the old man had learned in 7 years." I think for a lot of us, we find that to be true. All right, we're going to get back to your questions coming up next. Stay tuned. This is Ag PhD Radio.
Weeds rob you of yield potential, so rob them of the chance to grow with powerful corn herbicide solutions from Corteva Agriscience. Weeds won't know what hit them, but you will, because you can count on proven top herbicides like Resicor or SureStart 2 or the new game-changing herbicide Cairo to effectively control weeds. That way, you spend less time worrying about unwanted yield-robbing weeds and have more time to power on with your day. Learn more at PowerOverWeeds.com.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Here at Ag PhD, we're always looking for ways to support the next generation in the ag industry. That's why at our free Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships event on Saturday, June 29th, we're giving away more than 100 college scholarships. Join us as we head into the field for hands-on sessions covering everything from how to pull soil and tissue samples, ways to improve crop health, the importance of microbiology in farming, and much more. Plus, in our comprehensive guide to crop scouting, we'll explore both above and below ground in a variety of crops as we diagnose problems with insects, weeds, diseases, and anything else we may find. As we're giving away tens of thousands of dollars in scholarships to eligible attendees, this day is geared more towards students and young farmers, but anyone with a desire to learn more about agronomy is more than welcome. So whether you're a college student or just want good agronomy information, this is one event you won't want to miss. Come to the Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships Day, Saturday, June 29th on the Hefty Farm near Baltic, South Dakota. Learn more and register at agphd.com.
Get uniform control in your fields with trusted, hardworking Lucento fungicide. Control the toughest diseases with a dual mode of action fungicide that consistently outperforms the competition and field trials. Lucento fungicide from FMC works overtime for lasting control to help improve crop yields. Talk about getting the job done. Visit your FMC retailer or lucento.ag.fmc.com for hardworking control in your fields. Always read and follow all label directions.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from farmer Rob Schaefer.
Residuals have become a big part of our chemical programs with trying to battle water hemp, and also mare's tail is our big one. It's done a real good job of controlling those. You don't have to, you know, put a bunch of gallons in your sprayer, cover a lot of acres that way.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. It's Farmer Friday, and we're taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. Okay, I got this one in from Annex, who said, Hey guys, first of all, special thanks to Brian and Darren for helping me figure out that copper and plant health had a big connection. I've got a calcium-rich sand as the natural topsoil where I'm at. So naturally, I am straight nutrient deficient with both macro and micronutrients. So I've been working on building that up.
Yeah, but you know, the interesting thing is this. When Darren and I were growing up on the farm, our dad always used to say, yep, sandy ground's bad, heavy ground's good. And so that's just kind of how we always felt. And then as we got a little bit older and started working with farmers all around the country and even around the world, we started realizing, oh, wow, some of these people that have really sandy soil, they have irrigation, and they're getting unbelievably great yields. Plus, if they have any soil issues, they can make changes really quickly. You can change ratios so easily. You can move nutrients into plants so easily. So there are a lot of advantages to sand that I never thought about growing up. But I would have zero issue farming sand. In fact, I'd love to farm sand if I had all the water that I needed, because then what's my yield limiting factor? It's probably me. Seriously, if I've got all the water I could use, the only thing holding me back from high yields is me. What I mean by that is, he mentioned nutrients. Literally every nutrient, if you were to balance it, you were to put it on exactly when you need it, don't you think you'd be able to get a lot higher yield? Of course you would. And with irrigation, you can move it into the plant whenever you need to. So I don't know, I'd be super excited if I had sand and irrigation. And here's the other thing, because when you're listening, if you're listening to this today, you're probably like, oh boy, Brian's optimistic about everything. Yeah, I kind of am. I love farming. It's great. And I just look at it as, hey, there are challenges out there. Certainly, we have to work with Mother Nature. But, I mean, we have great technology today. We have way better varieties of corn, of soybeans, of wheat, of everything than we used to. We have way better crop protection products. I mean, we know so much more about fertility in soils today. We have great technology, even like with drain tile. Putting tile in 20 years ago, there was no such thing as these slope controls and all this stuff, so we could use GPS and put in tile super accurately, even ourselves on the farm. There was no such thing. So think about auto steer and GPS and, I mean, just all the great stuff. It's an exciting time to be alive, and it's a really exciting time to be in agriculture.
All right. Well, I feel the same way, Brian. It is an exciting time to be in ag, but not everybody feels that way. I got a comment that came in from Diego down in Argentina. He said, not sure if you're aware of this, but in Argentina, they're launching a film called, in your language, The Agronomist, which is funded by a government institution supporting national cinema. Unfortunately, the film essentially portrays numerous false accusations against agriculture. And he sent a link here. And, you know, that is tough, that a lot of times the people that aren't doing the farming think pretty bad things about how we're doing things and make a lot of assumptions that may or may not be true.
Think about almost any biography that comes out anymore, especially when it's an unauthorized biography. Is it more focused on the positives of whatever that person did or on the negatives? It's the negatives that always make the headlines. So negatives, unfortunately, sell. It's sad, but that's the way it is. Turn on the TV news sometime. I don't watch the TV news, and that's exactly why. It's way too negative. They take a negative spin on literally everything. So I guess, yes, it's unfortunate, but this is also why we talk often about how in agriculture, we need to do a great job of promoting our value. What do we bring to the table? Why is agriculture so great compared to how it used to be? So I'm just, again, really excited about ag and really excited about the future, because think about our crops today. They're nutritious. They're safe. I mean, here in the United States, and really it's not much different for Canada, we've got the safest, healthiest, cheapest, best food supply in the world and best that's ever been. It's amazing. Think about what farmers can do today. It's fantastic. So, yes, it's unfortunate, but there are just a lot of people out there who are always going to be skeptics of us and our industry. We just have to keep fighting back with lots of positives about all the great things that we do here in ag.
All right. Had this question come in from Joe. He's in Iowa. And he said, hey, guys, I recently went in to pick up my soybean seed for the year. I'm planting Extend Flex soybeans. And obviously with what's going on with dicamba, I'm very aware of additional restrictions where I've got to take product earlier. But my dealer said I should take my Extendamax right now when I'm picking up the seed. Why are dealers so nervous about this? I've got a couple of weeks yet.
Well, okay, so for example, in Iowa, if I remember right off the top of my head, I think the date is June 12th. That's the last date you can spray Extendamax or Ingenia or Tavium over the top of your Extend or Extend Flex crop. So you say, well, I should be able to get product the day that I need it, 1st of June, 5th of June, maybe even on June 12th on the very last day. But you can't because of the rule change this year. The rule change is retailers can't sell it to you within 30 days of your final date. So you have until May 13th to pick up the product. Now, I just want you to think about it from the retailer's perspective, and the reason why retailers are pushing this so hard right now. If they have any product left over, let's say it's June 13th, or let me step back. Let's say it's May 14th. They can't sell it to you anymore. Now what do they do with it? Well, they can't sell it to anybody. So all of a sudden, they got product that was worth, whatever, $50 a gallon or $120 a gallon, depending on the product. And now it's worth zero. It's worth zero. And you might say, oh, come on, they're going to find some other. No, it's literally not labeled. Could it be labeled again in the future? Yes, it's possible, but there's no guarantee. So nobody's going to want to get stuck with product. So this is the reason why every retailer in the country right now is trying to clean out their shed of Extendamax, Ingenia, and Tavium, because depending on where they're at, they've got 2 weeks to go, and then that product's worthless. So that's the situation.
All right. Thanks for the question, Joe. We get this one that came in from Jared over in Minnesota. He said, hey, guys, we're putting soybeans in the ground now. Got rained out today, and we realized we got ahead of the sprayer with the planter. We got into a field that wasn't ready for us yet, and we got it planted to soybeans. Now, normally I've been using your three pre's, using Trifluralin, Metribuzin, and Valor. Since I already have beans in this field, obviously I can't use that mix anymore. What should I switch to if I've got the beans in the ground and the herbicide not put on?
Well, you still have lots of options. The only thing you can't do is use Trifluralin anymore because that would have to be incorporated. You also, in Minnesota, can't use Prowl after the beans are planted. You can still use Metribuzin. You can still use Valor Authority. So as far as our three pre's, two of them, you're still good on. What I would suggest is throw a Group 15 in place of the yellow. So use something like Dual, Warrant, Zidua. You can certainly go with premixes too. So for example, you could use Fierce MTZ. That would give you the active ingredients from Metribuzin and Valor and Zidua. So lots of different choices there, but basically I'm just going to say take out the yellow, put in a Group 15, and you'll be in pretty good shape. Now, as another option, if you would like to, you could just do Metribuzin and Valor or Metribuzin and Authority right now, and then you could come back with a Group 15 and something else later. So for example, on our weediest fields, or let's say where we're raising conventional beans, we'll use Anthem Max or we'll use Warrant Ultra. The Anthem Max, that's got the active ingredients from Zidua and Cadet. Warrant Ultra has the active ingredients from Warrant and Flexstar. So either way, we're in great shape. Now we've got a Group 15 for more residual on grass and a bunch of small seeded broadleaves, and we have a really good PPO chemistry that will help us on things like water hemp and a number of other weeds. So you got lots of options yet. I wouldn't get too worried. What I would worry about, though, is that the beans pop up before you get this sprayed. Fortunately, it's cool yet. And I know there's been a lot of April soybean planting this year in the northern United States, and I think it's great. We've hit the first plant date, so by all means, get those beans out there. That's awesome. Once you get crop insurance, I feel pretty comfortable, but you just want to make sure that you get those pre's out either before planting is always my preference, or after planting and before emergence, because once those beans emerge, now you're starting to get real limited on which herbicides you can use.
Thanks for the question today. Really appreciate that. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio. And now stay tuned for Rob Sharkey and Shark Farmer Radio.